cause I'm the tax man. Yeah, I'm the tax man.
Hello and welcome back to the latest edition of the Hulkcast and Aston Villa podcast. As usual, I'm your host, James Rushton, and today we're facing a tax bill wind-up. And the future of Aston Villa seems a bit in limbo, mate. It's, again, I'm joined by Danny Raza. I forgot to introduce you. A lot has gone on today. I'm sorry for my frazzled mind. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, mate. I'm doing well. three things are certain in life. Death, Aston Villa annoying us forever, and taxes. I think that's the worst. I think that's the way we've got to start this off. Taxes are a certainty. We all know that this is part and parcel of running a business. How are people sitting here right now questioning whether or not the Aston Villa CEO forgot to pay the club's taxes? James, I'm baffled. I was trying to sleep today, as you know, or may not know, if you're not a regular podcast listener. I've got this turned around timetable right now, which means that I'm sleeping in the daytime. And I woke up and, you know, kind of saw on my phone that a statement had been released by the club. I'm thinking, okay, finally we're going to get some clarity over here. Finally, the club has ended their silence. They're going to tell us what's going on. I open it up and Keith Wyness has been suspended. And I'm thinking, what?
Yeah, let's just rewind. If you are new to the situation today, it's breaking. Keith Wyness, firstly, was suspended by the club. The club gave no notification as to why he was suspended, for how long he was suspended, and what had brought this situation on. Keith Wyness, of course, Aston Villa's CEO, quite outspoken gentleman. He's been on various club channels. He's been around the country speaking about Aston Villa. Recently, he's actually been seeking investment for Aston Villa. We'll come on to that, actually, because that's a key point. He hasn't been heard from in an official capacity, mate, since Villa lost the playoff final on the 26th of May. So since Tom Kearney's goal sunk Villa and Fulham celebrated promotion to the Premier League, Aston Villa haven't heard off their main man. Tony Shaw, the chairman, you may consider to be the main man, but it's not. It's the CEO. The CEO is a man who runs the day-to-day operations of the football club. Today, he's been suspended. That action has come. It's believed to come from the owner, Dr. Tony Shaw. Then, immediately after, it was highlighted by a journalist, and this bloke, mate, he's not a liar. He's not a clickbait journalist. This is one of the most trusted financial journalists around, according to people I've spoken to. I'm just going to get that article up. Where was it? He's not someone who would just say this for the sake of saying it, which is, it's a huge worry.
Mm.
And what he said, it's Matt Kleiman at Sky. And what he said is that this is in regards to a tax bill, a £4.2 million tax bill that Aston Villa forgot to pay. That was due last week before the playoff final.
Yeah, so...
There are no words. There are no words to describe that.
I don't understand. So, like, to me, there's two possibilities over here. This is basically it, right?
Either... Okay, so we're talking about tax. We're talking about the tax thing there, forgetting to pay the tax.
Yeah. Yeah, talking about the tax thing, right? Just because I feel like that needs to be sort of, I think that needs to be told in the context of what's just happened with Keith Wyness, right? Because it's all interlinked, right? So, like, either the club, maybe it's Keith Wyness's responsibility, maybe it's somebody else's responsibility. Either the club, let's be fair, it's Keith Wyness's responsibility. I've forgotten to pay the taxes, right? Which is rather unlikely considering you get warnings and warnings and warnings from HMRC before that kind of thing happens. Or they simply don't have the money to pay the taxes and therefore have not replied. So it's pick and choose over there. So that's the tax situation. But James, you were going to speak about Keith Wyness first, were you?
Keith Wyness, of course, outspoken. This is very interesting, mate. We'll do a little timeline. So Sunday, the rumours abounded of Aston Villa actually being taken over again. that Tony Shaw was going to sell the club to a consortium of British businessmen. Yeah, of course. And that came about on Sunday. The club didn't deny this. It had to be, you know, it was denied through, you know, various channels. The Birmingham Mail eventually got a source. We were led to believe that it's from the doctor himself, that Villa are not for sale. So on Sunday, the club is, there's takeover rumours. On Monday, the club barely moved to say it's not for sale. Today on Tuesday, so we're 3 days out of takeover rumours, the club has suspended the chief executive officer, Keith Wynas. It's madness, mate. It is complete madness. People have actually warned Villa fans about Keith Wynas and his activities. I'm not going to go into, you know, the history when people were doubting Tony Shaw and all that, because, you know, they had no reason to doubt him. I think they were, you know, there was a bit of paranoia at the start. Now, I think everyone has the benefit of hindsight, and, you know, certain people come out and say, hey, we was right from the get-go. No, that was very paranoid of everyone, I think, at the start. But now we're in a position where it's worrying. And what I'll pick up on, mate, is Villa's method of resolving this tax bill isn't to pay it. From the words that have come out, they're in constant dialogue with Her Majesty's Revenue and Customs. Alex Carson on the blog said, you know, this wording's interesting because if you're in constant dialogue with HMRC, are you paying it? Because surely you'd just pay it. You wouldn't be working with them. You'd be paying it off. Mm. There's no working with them. You'd be, you know, the wording's interesting there. I'm not sure if it's something to look into here.
Yeah. So we don't know what kind of tax bill Villa would have got. We don't know what, you know, how much it is, do we? I think that's...
We do. Just the information actually is just...
Oh, really?
Literally in the last 5 minutes come out, mate.
Okay, James.
John Percy on the Telegraph, of course. I think it's a journalist we can actually relatively trust in regards to Aston Villa news. Aston Villa, £4.2 million tax bill has been left unpaid.
Okay. I mean,
in football terms, not a lot of money.
Yeah.
In tax terms, a lot of money.
Sure, sure. As you say, in football terms, not a lot of money. I don't see why the club wouldn't be able to pay that off, which is worrying, to be honest. It might have been a case of, you know what, it may simply have been a case of, can you just hang on a couple of weeks so we can see what happens in terms of whether we get promoted or not, which is still irresponsible because at the end of the day, when the taxes come, you have to pay them. I'm wondering now what the circumstances are going to be because of it. The worrying thing is we're not being told an awful lot. We don't know exactly why this has been allowed to happen. We don't know whether Keith Wynas has been sacked because of the tax situation. We don't know whether the tax situation is that serious. Like, we're going off a lot of unknowns right now. All that seems to be happening is that Aston Villa are sending their fans into further and further doubt, and basically just kind of the sense of you know, I don't know, what would you describe it as? Is it, we're all in a sense of paranoia at the moment, I think.
It's a constant state of doubt, because now when the club says something, are you going to believe anything? You know, we have been told time and time again that there was plans for dealing with FFP. That's one thing. FFP, a stupid rule made up by, you know, those in charge of the Football League. The tax is a law, you know. Yeah, exactly. And Aston Villa fall in this middle ground. They're not Google and they're not a self-employed toiler. You know, they can't take cash in hand jobs. They can't find loopholes. They're in the middle ground of where you get the bill and you have to pay. There's no loophole.
Mm.
And 4.2 million, mate, that should have been paid. And the problem is, there is no negotiation. The deadline is 7 days. If you fail that, you will face a winding up order. You could go insolvent or face liquidation. Villa have not yet been issued a winding up order. So that hints to me that the tax bill still has a few days left. But we're talking the time span of a week. By the time we record another podcast, mate, that order could have been issued. Still, it's not there yet. So we can't say that. However, the prospect... When it comes to administration, that's not something we can totally put out of the picture, and that's a worry.
No,
you know, you can't say Villa will not face this, because chances are they can. They will.
I don't think we will. In the grand scheme of things, I'm sure you know, there's got to be a plan to fix it and a plan to sort that out. We can't be that much in, you know, in the shit, basically. I mean, if we are, then I don't know how we could have ended up in that situation. It just seems very weird to me. I guess maybe Tony Jaa is kind of waiting up to see you. I mean, maybe he's weighing it up, weighing up any offers that have come in for Aston Villa. I doubt there is any offers. I doubt that the club is up for sale. But as I say, man, I'm in a total state of confusion right now. I genuinely don't know. Like, we as podcasters, you know, we want to be in the know. What all we've got right now, James, to work with is this various statements that are coming out from various journalists and a very, very, very vague club statement. So if we were to go into administration, then forget it, right? It's finished, right? Purely, I mean, plain and simple, that's what it is. Right,
that's ground zero, mate. That's start again.
Exactly, that's it. Either we get relegated down to League Two, to Conference National or whatever, or we get a points deduction which ensures essentially that we'd get relegated. If administration is what happens, hopefully, you know, that's not the case. I know that a lot of us are now kind of. We're coming around to the idea that we may have to use the kids a lot next season, and that's not a problem. It is what it is. Right, we'll work with it, but not paying tax bills, that's unacceptable.
But you've got to think about how rapidly this timeline has progressed, mate. Last week we were saying, oh, we've got to play the kids. Next week will we actually be wondering if there's a pitch or a Villa Park left? You know what I mean? I'm sure it won't be that bad, but look how far we've come in a week since we last recorded. I never imagined having this conversation with you at all. And in the space of 2 hours, here we are. And the day gets worse. It consistently gets worse with every single breaking news story. At first, you may have thought, yeah, a few journalists have got the knives out. You know, it's a big club. They're going to make a few stories up. Then the stories just keep coming from reputable sources. It's not just the Birmingham Mail. Yeah. No offence to, you know, their staff. But it's not just people making stories over and over again for clicks. It's financial journalists coming out and saying this. You know, it's not someone with any interest in football whatsoever.
Well, I don't understand what the club was trying to do with the statement today. I have no clue. Right? Maybe it's the fact that they'd realized that everything had leaked and they had to push it out themselves before we heard about it from the news. But like, the smart thing would have been to find somebody to assume Keith Wyness's position. Obviously, Tony Jaa, according to the statement, is assuming that position. But I don't know if I believe that. I don't know how much work Tony Jaa can really do as a chief executive officer when he's obviously already involved with the active running of the club. So I think, you know, if they'd have said that they're actively working towards something, then fine, that's great, right? But if we're left in this situation, all that you're telling us is that we've suspended our chief executive officer, then that's not telling any of us that the club is working to solve the situation. You know, tell us at least that you're not panicking. Tell us that there's a plan. The fact that there isn't, and the fact that there's no positivity coming out of the club, whoa, like, this is serious. And like, I know we're podcasting now and we can only assume and make predictions about what may or may not happen, but I'm hoping that by the time that we record next week, that there's some more clarity on the situation. I mean, I think that's all Villa fans want.
It's so confusing right now. Do you want to speak conspiracy theories, mate?
Conspiracy theories.
And I'm saying, I'm not going to go into the lengths of making stuff up, but I think there is a real core explanation here. It's been brought to my attention by one of our writers, Adam Clark. Of course, one of my old podcast co-hosts, Adam Clark, now working at Reuters, I believe, the news agency. He says, well, he seems to believe that the simplest explanation is Tony Jaa and Keith Wyness have fallen out. Simple. You know, the BBCWM said that the suspension of Keith Wyness and this unpaid tax bill are in no way connected. So that means something has happened, and we have a missing piece now that we're going to have to kind of link up. If you take into account the rumours, mate, the rumours on Sunday that leaked about English businessmen coming out, and the news we know about Keith Wyness and Tony Jaa both going their separate ways to drum up funds for Villa needed to find investment. Either that comes through Recon or it comes from an outside source. They need to find investment. If Keith Wyness has been negotiating at home, Tony Shaw has been in China to get funds, maybe Wyness has done something that Shaw doesn't kind of agree with.
Well, maybe. I mean, look, the thing about this tax bill is that we've obviously heard about this from a couple of sources. And I think even Sky Sports are reporting on it now, aren't they? There's various journalists coming out with those sources. But no one's told us whether it's because we can't pay it or whether it's because we've simply just forgotten to. We don't know that right now. If it's purely a suspension to Keith Wyness and there's no explanation given, there is that chance that Tony Zarr doesn't believe that Keith Wyness is doing his utmost or doing the best that he can for the club, or maybe he just doesn't believe that Keith Wyness doesn't have it in him to basically solve the situation that we have now at Villa. When he came in, Villa were in a situation where they could spend lots of money on different players, and maybe Tony Zia, maybe he blames Keith Wyness for it. I don't know.
Do you think maybe then in that case, Wyness has found investors? You know, this is all speculation. Wyness has found investors, and he's went to Tony. Either we sell the club to these investors, cut our losses, or try and make a deal, or we're going to have to face the financial fair play and the tax people. You know what I mean?
Well, this is it, isn't it? This is another one of the different rumors and speculations going around, isn't it? That purely Keith Wyness has said it straight to Zia that we might face an administration. And that's worrying. It's worrying then that Tony Zarr's reaction would lead to suspend him rather than facing it head on.
Let's say, actually, that's not just speculation. That was reported on Sky News. You know, I don't usually trust Sky News that much. But when it comes to business, you know, Kleinman, from what Adam's told me, he's the man. I'm business exclusives. He's the bloke. If this is being written at the bottom of the article, our sources understand inside the club that Wyness said this about administration. That says to me that there's been a falling out, and it's all alleged. We'll say that right now. It's all alleged. It's all speculation. But when it comes to that being a footer on a Sky News article, we've come such a long, disastrous way in a week.
Yeah, I know. I hear that, but we're yet to hear any comments from Wyness and Zia. Do you know what I mean? Maybe somebody at the club has told journalists this, but we're still not going to know 100%.
But Danny, mate, what are they going to say that's going to make you feel any better? Because everything they've said so far has fallen apart.
You know what, just be honest, right? I think the fans are just tired of being taken for mugs. I think that's literally it right now. Like,
be honest, it'll be like an episode of fucking Arrested Development. It literally is at this point. It's like the first season of Arrested Development with George Senior in prison.
It ain't good.
Maritime law, mate.
It ain't good. Yeah, well, I mean, however bad the situation is, do you want to be left not knowing about it? Or do you want to know about it so that, you know, for flip's sake, you can go and focus on something else for a little bit? Do you know what I mean? You don't want to be worrying about it. Fans don't want to be worrying about it. Fans want to know whether or not they should be buying a season ticket.
I'll tell you what, this is no disrespect to Fulham, Brentford, you know, those smaller clubs. They've found a way to use that. They haven't got massive stadiums. They haven't got massive resources. They're barely that popular.
Oh, come on, man. Fulham are rich.
They're not that, you know, the finance, you know, when you go to, it's just a sustainable model. They can't sell 40,000 tickets a week. They can't attract massive sponsors just yet. They aren't a massive property, mate. Brentford, even more so. Brentford, tiny, tiny, tiny club. Mm. Yeah, these two clubs, you look at, and they're an amazing example. And both of them didn't have the benefits of parachute payments. Fulham did for a while. They run out. They got promoted without them. And it's embarrassing. It's so embarrassing that we've had a God-given chance to go up and we blew it. And it's one of their faults.
Yeah, no, they've blown it. They've blown it, right? What I don't understand is how we are the biggest club in the Midlands, right? And I will say that, right? For, I don't care whether Wolves fans, Birmingham fans, West Brom fans find it funny, whatever's going on at Aston Villa, you know, find it funny, you know, laugh as much as you want. But, you know, at the end of the day, they've all been through this kind of situation. They've all suffered like this, you know, it is what it is, right? Like, we should easily be making up the money from advertising and from ticket sales. It should not be an issue, right? As long as player wages are taken off the book, as long as they're made affordable, you know, and you know, if that's the case, then all you've got to do really is sell players, and it is what it is. But you can't tell me that we lack the advertising opportunities that clubs like Fulham and Brentford do. You know, it's just not what it is.
We're bigger. That's not saying, oh, we're a big club. We are genuinely bigger. We have a bigger stadium. We have a bigger catchment area. We aren't surrounded by Arsenal, Chelsea, West Ham United. You know what I mean? We are in our own area, club separate of different identities. We have a massive catchment area, a huge academy, a lot of prestige, and a massive, you know, we're marketable.
We should be sustainable.
I'm not saying that Fulham aren't. I'm saying that we had so much more chances than them to do, you know, to do what they did. And let's not talk about football. Let's not talk about on the pitch this week, man, because it's gone beyond that now. I'm just so embarrassed. I am so, so, so furiously embarrassed with this football club and how they've treated their fans. Because look at the start when Tony Shaw took over and he was retweeting some of the quote unquote lunatics who were doubting him, making everyone laugh at them. I don't get it. I look at that and I feel disgusted. I'm not going to say he's a bad person. I don't think he is. I think he's been misled by the people around him. Very much like Randy Learn. I think he's been completely misled by the people around him. But when you look at his Twitter account and some of the fucking things he's done, like, I think we all used to take the piss out of people. Like, I think it was Keith Villain or something. And he went on these mad conspiracy theories about how Shah had no money. I still think Shah's got money. It's just, it's locked up in China. Read about how China won't allow you to invest. Mm. But he was retweeting on them onto his timeline, mocking them. And that doesn't sit well with me anymore, really. It really doesn't, mate.
I don't care what went on with ZR on Twitter and whatnot. I liked that he was upfront about it. And I like that he contacted the fans, right? Say what you like, right? Maybe he didn't know the full, I mean, maybe he didn't understand the full consequences that came along with investing in a club like Villa and what might happen in terms of buying a football club. He should have been clued up about it, right? But we still don't know exactly what the situation is and why we're in that situation. Financial fair play is incredibly complicated. I don't think anyone expected or knew it was going to happen. I think Czar made a calculated risk to try to get us promoted by signing big players that at the end didn't deliver. Unfortunately, you know, that is the case. Say what you like, Villa fans were all very excited when Ross McCormack signed, when the likes of Codger and Hogan signed. Villa fans were excited. It was big money. And, you know, that kind of thing should have delivered. Unfortunately, now we're living with, you know, the consequences of those calculated risks. I'm not making excuses for Tony Czar. I'm just not ready to write him off just yet. I'm really not. You know, we've had a lot of bad luck over the years. The club was an absolute state when he took it over. It's still a state now, right? But, I mean, on the pitch, it didn't seem as bad last season anyway. I just don't know yet. This is it. I'm gonna wait for this difficult patch to kind of like roll over and see what the actual situation is with attacks and the situation is with Keith Wyness. But yo, like, this club's been a mess for years, and I'm not surprised that we've still got issues to solve.
No, it's. Let's move on a little bit. Let's move on to something just as equally depressing. How did Aston Villa not pay this? It's long been known to people who have an interest in Chinese business, Chinese investment and Chinese sports, that people, Chinese businessmen or people with money locked up in China, there was a surge of investment. You know, AC Milan, Inter, Wolverhampton Wanderers, Aston Villa, all these clubs got bought up by Chinese investors. Some of them based in China, some of them Chinese businessmen not based in China. The Chinese government, in the last year or so, since 2017, they've changed their investment strategy. They want people, and don't quote me directly on this. My brain is mashed up from reading the Financial Times today. I don't read the Financial Times. I have no interest in economics or money or stocks. I have no interest in money. I've been reading the Financial Times all day since I found out about this news. And from what I can gather about Chinese investment is that external investment in sports or leisure or real estate is not how the Chinese government want their citizens to invest. They want their citizens to invest internally into the Chinese sports, into Chinese entertainment. So when Tony Shaw tried to buy Millennium Films, that's why that fell through. When Tony Shaw tries to get money for Aston Villa, that's why that's not happening. I have no doubt that he's got money. You know, football is one thing where you can do a lot of things. If you have no money, look at AC Milan, for an example. But I believe Tony Shaw has got money. I don't believe he would have been able to hoodwink Randy Lerner and the Football League like that. Not with Aston Villa.
So when did these regulations come out in China?
There is a graph. I put it on the site 7500 to Holt. It's from an article. China outbound investment down nearly 41% in 2017. So around about 2017, mate, China's outbound investment strategy changed completely from pushing money out of the country to keeping it in.
Right. I mean,
you know, we had a peak. We had a fresh peak of Chinese investment in 2016 and it crashed.
That absolutely reeks of the whole situation. I'm not going to blame Brexit for Aston Villa's demise. That absolutely reeks of the whole situation with Brexit and Trump you know, wanted to kind of like go with this whole America First policy where like all these different countries are now basically thinking, yeah, no, we've got to protect our own businesses. We've got to make sure that everything works, you know, within our own economic stratosphere, you know, yada, yada, yada. But look, Czar bought the club in 2016. How is he supposed to know this? It's bad luck. It's a bad luck which follows Aston Villa around everywhere we go. You know, all of a sudden our owner can't reach the money that he's got up in China. What is he supposed to do about it? That's the thing, isn't it? Like it is now a case of get a good businessman in and somehow manage to let the club be self-sustainable. We have to go absolutely Stan Kroenke in this bitch. That's the only thing we can do.
It's hard. It is so hard to digest, mate. And I think we're gonna come to almost a conclusion now. There was just so much flying around. We spoke for nearly half an hour on it. I still can't make up my mind on anything. I just really think that no matter what now, fans have to hold Dr. Tony Shaw to account, and they can't. We cannot afford to become Sunderland. I'm not going to say that Sunderland fans and Leeds fans didn't stick up for their club, but we've got to go the extra mile now and prevent this situation before it happens. And I don't want to go into mad paranoia, but the fact that we have an unpaid tax bill worries me. It worries me even if we do pay it, because that should not be unpaid. That should be the first thing Aston Villa pay off, and it's not. So there we go. It's depressing. It's depressing. Have you got any final thoughts on this, mate? Do you want to go off on one before we end?
You know, with all these journalists coming out with stuff, right? 10 minutes ago, Matt Scott tweeted something, right? And a professor known as Simon Chadwick just tweeted that This isn't an update. James, I just want to ask you something actually before we do finish off, because I'm sure there is stuff to answer. You watch Serie A, right? You're obviously a big Serie A fan. So you know the issues that it caused at Inter. What have Inter done about it? Like what has been their response to it? Like what's their reaction? Are they still subject to financial fair play?
The best example is AC Milan. So AC Milan have owners very much like Tony Shaw. They are not as established. You know, they don't have an asset like Recon.
Right. Okay.
I believe the man Lee Yong Hong. His assets seem to be, and this is allegedly completely made up. There is nothing. There is no money. There is nothing. There were forged bank statements in the purchase.
How does that happen in a big football club? Like, I don't like this. There's people going on about Tony Jarre's, like, you know, faked his Harvard degree and whatnot. Like, there's people who are saying that. Like,
I don't think he did. See, that's the thing. That's completely something someone said. When you research Lee, you find nothing.
Right.
There is nothing. When you research Shaw, you find recon at least.
Yeah.
When you research Lee, there's nothing. AC Milan bought Hakan Çalhanoğlu. I can't even say his name. I really apologize. Çalhanoğlu. Yeah. Turkish playmaker. They bought Leonardo Bonucci, $200,000 a week contract.
Yeah. Donnarumma. Can I just mention Donnarumma as well? What is it?
Donnarumma.
Right. Is he 100? Is he like 150k a week or something? Or is it like 200 now? 19.
He's earning a bomb. He's earning a bomb. And that, what I will say about Italy, Milan, is there's a lot. This is perfect proof of the pudding. There's a lot you can do in football when you have no money, including giving people $200,000 a week.
My God.
So when you look at everything that's happened at Aston Villa, how are we funding this? If the money was locked up in China, will this money ever be released? Do we need to be sold? These are questions we need answering. I don't think Shaw could have predicted that his assets would become locked up in China. But now we are in a real problem and it needs to be sorted, because with a chief executive, mate, how do you sign players and how do you sell them?
Well, exactly. I can't imagine Tony Gio's doing the negotiating. I mean, that, by the way, that's not an insult towards his intelligence. That's the fact that he's not a football man. You know, that's not, it's just not what he specializes in. You know, it's usually other people at the club who are handling this kind of negotiation. So I'm genuinely wondering. And also, I think it's worth mentioning now to all those who want a new manager at the club, that's not happening now.
Steve Bruce will be a blessing. If this is all true, Steve Bruce would be the best manager we could get. This is, you know, it's very uncertain the future this club's faces right at the moment. So I'm going to count my chickens.
I will genuinely worry if Steve Bruce leaves tomorrow. You know, I'm not saying he's going to leave tomorrow. I'm saying the day that Steve Bruce leaves within the next 2 weeks or month or whatever, that's when I'll worry. Because Steve Bruce only ever leaves when a club is really in difficulty. So that's your sign. Don't celebrate when it happens, because that is your sign that there is an issue going on. And I'm not talking about Steve Bruce getting sacked. I'm talking about Steve Bruce leaving.
What I will say about Steve Bruce is Aston Villa, they've got no CEO at the moment. They need to sell players. They need to buy players. They need to do a lot of movement. If they lose Steve Bruce, regardless of what you think of his tactics, I don't like them. I don't like the way we've played. I think it's of a level below Aston Villa, really below Aston Villa. Regardless of what you think of how we've set up, I think it's below Aston Villa to set up the way we have and fold and collapse the way we have.
I agree.
If you lose Steve Bruce, that's another problem we need to fix, and we don't have the time and resources to do so.
Yeah, because at least with Steve Bruce, right, everything doesn't collapse, right? Like, I mean, I'm talking about on the pitch now, right? Obviously. We've played some really poor games and the team has just not turned up some days. But at least with him, it works to some degree. The wheels turn, right? If there was to be a new manager, or with a lot of different managers handling this kind of situation at a club whilst all of this is going on in the background, right? Their teams may not even play. They may not get the job done. It was efficient though under Steve Bruce. That's the main thing. It was efficient, and we managed to somehow get to fourth place. Yes, we had a lot of good players in the team, but the fact was it wasn't a total collapse, and it was an improvement on an awful side to begin with. So, like, if he was to leave and we end up doing a derby and hiring a recently retired player or something to coach the club, like, that's when I'm going to worry. You know, right now I want somebody who's been in the job for years, who's been there and seen that. Like, that's all it is, really. And yeah, let's just hope that we see the next week out without dying as a club.
So the last thing today, Villa's tax bill, this is Birmingham Mail now I've had their say, Villa's tax bill will be paid by the end of the week. Tony Shaw hasn't been able to get money out of China for some time now. We all know that. So he's had to take out a loan to cover this.
Oh my God.
So I think he's taken the only option he actually can do. But again, it's another loan. It's another thing hanging over Aston Villa. Gillick's only 4.2 million. But look at clubs like Bolton Wanderers who've had this hanging over and how it's affected them. So I think we count our blessings. I think we are lucky to still be in the position we are, because if we were clubs like Portsmouth, I think there'd be a mad panic right now, wouldn't there? And there is a mad panic. I'm not discounting that. But we're still holding out hope that we can fight this somehow. So I'm thankful.
Yeah, and let's look at this one other way, right? So he suspended Keith Wynas, and Tony Zia perhaps has just gone, you know what? Right, let me just do this. Let me just sort this out. You know, this might be the sign that Tony Zia is just saying, I'm dedicated to this. I want to get this fixed. This is a purely positive mindset. I understand that nobody really has that right now. I understand that we're all worrying. But I want to present there are two sides to every story. Perhaps this is Tony Zia saying, look, let me sort this out. You know, maybe he just doesn't believe that Keith Wynas was doing it.
No, that's what I hope so, mate. But yeah, I think we've come to the end of that. I think we can't really go into more because there's just a lot of lies happening right now, to be honest. I think people have shared pages of a winding up order that doesn't exist. Stuff like that is flying around now. So I think it's time to call it quits, mate. Very, very concise, very sharp today. We've really been a finger on the pulse today. So thank you for being up for that. Mr. Danny.
All good.
And people can find you at DHRaza, can't they?
At DHRaza on Twitter. I might anger some of you because I say a lot of, I do tweet a lot of things which people seem to like disagree with, mainly because of a lot of things that have been grinding me in the news recently. But try not to get too disheartened if I ever reply to you disagreeing with you or whatever. So.
Oh yeah, you can find me at Gemma Rushton. Find us together at 7500 Hull, our cast of excellent writers, guest writers, and of course you find Saf at Mr. Raza. But yeah, we'll link up again soon, no doubt, when the next event of breaking news happens, and hopefully it's something a lot more positive. But again, hold out hope, and if the worst does happen, I think we're all capable of banding together and fighting for this club, aren't we?
Absolutely. And can I just say that all the writers at 7500 to Holt at the moment are really doing a good job of updating the fans on the situation over here. So I am yet to write an article for this, so I'm not involved here, but the likes of James and Adam are obviously doing their best to keep you updated every single day. So make sure you're logging onto the page and checking out the different articles as and when news is out about Aston Villa.
Yeah, so we'll catch you very soon, ideally with something more positive to speak about. See you later, guys. Goodbye.